Hey, today is May 30th, 2021. This is Mobile Views Podcast 365. I'm Todd Agasawara, and the good Dr. John Westbrook is not with us today. He is on a super secret mission. The cover story is he is taking a three-day holiday road trip. So, with that cover story, I thought, hey, I've been reconnecting with old friends I haven't talked to or seen in a while. Some of them far away. You're kind of in the middle, by the way, Daryl. The furthest, I think, is Israel and Germany. But Daryl Lahola. I've known him for years and I also missed his last name. But anyway, Daryl. So Daryl and I used to work together up until 2019, middle of 2019.
October.
Before you abandoned us. And and you left for the great state of Utah where you worked for their government up until like last week or the week before, I think, right?
A couple weeks, yeah.
Yeah.
A couple weeks.
And he now works for a large tech company who we will not mention to protect the innocent. But at any rate, so I wanted to catch up with them, and I should note that so I've known Daryl since about 2016, I think, when I moved over to the place he had already been working at. And I remember meeting him, you know, in the middle of the street, because we were in two separate office buildings. And we were walking over to the main building where Daryl's office was. And I was walking with my then manager, and we're walking along, and we see this big, tall guy who was Daryl. I didn't know him at the time, I think, walking over, and he's carrying a Surface, and my boss says hi to him, and he says hi to him, and then Daryl asks, is this Todd Gossawara? Goes, yeah. He goes, here's your Surface laptop. He was walking it over to me, amongst doing other things at the other building, but that's how I met Daryl. I think of him as the chief explainer of technology. When he was with the state of Hawaii, one of his many roles was to just explain technical stuff to often non-technical people, and did a terrific job. And of course, Utah stole him away. So, oh well, you know, what are you gonna do? So, how you doing, Daryl?
I'm good. I'm just, you know, remembering that time that you were mentioning our first interaction with one another.
Yeah.
Because they told me that morning, hey, Todd starts today. Do you have his laptop already? I said, yes, I do. He's over at the other building. And so I picked it up, and then I'm on my way there. And I saw the other Todd.
Yeah, my old boss is named Todd.
So he said, hey, this is Todd Gaspar. Oh, you're Todd. Here's your laptop, buddy.
Yeah. That's how we made it. It's a good start. It's a good start.
That's your onboarding.
So, but before we get started, I did want to catch up on a couple of things. One, circling back to the Google, you know, Google Photos loses its unlimited storage Tuesday, June 1st. So tomorrow is the last day of unlimited storage. You can store all the photos you want up until then. But come Tuesday, any photos you add or videos will count towards your storage limit in Google's cloud, which the default free is, I think, 15 gigabytes. Anyway, so I have Google One, so I have like 115 gigabytes of storage, and I pay $20 a year for that. So it's not too expensive. While I think about it, and the reason I'm thinking about it is because I moved over everything to Microsoft OneDrive, and as a storage, it's great. Its AI is stupid. So actually, it doesn't even have any. It can't search. It doesn't know anything except dates, basically.
I've never used OneDrive for photo storage.
Photos? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not good. I mean, you know, well, let me rephrase it. As a storage medium, it is fine. And especially if you have Microsoft 365, you know, Home Edition or whatever, because you get one whole terabyte. I mean, they don't mess around with storage for $100 a year. And you get Office and all the other good stuff. So, you know, that's worthwhile to have, right? For $100 a year, you get Office, 365, and all that other good stuff. But at any rate, and I also have iCloud. And iCloud is kind of in between Google and actually it's a lot smarter than OneDrive. But it's not as smart as Google Photos. So I'm going to stay with Google Photos until, you know, Google Photos say I apparently I store 100 gigabytes a year. I don't think that's true. But they're saying, you know, you're going to exhaust your space in about a year. But one thing I did notice a couple of weeks ago when I was talking to John, my normal co-host, my usual co-host, is if you have a Pixel device, an Android Pixel phone, you can continue to upload unlimited photos at, you know, in the compressed, whatever they call it, storage level quality. And I was wondering when I was talking to John about this, you know, I don't know if it matters which account you're on. Like my Google One account is associated with one Google account. And my phone, I had to get my phone, which I bought through Google Fi, another account, because at the time I did it, you would lose Google Voice if you went to Google Fi. That's no longer true. But back then, so I created a second account. But it turns out, as long as you have a Google phone, a Pixel phone, it doesn't really care what account you're on, even if you don't even have service. So my Google Pixel 4a, which currently has Google Fi service, it says you have unlimited storage. And even the Google 3a, which doesn't have any kind of service contract anymore, I just use it kind of as a iPod Touch running Android at home. That says you have unlimited storage too. So anyway, I just wanted to clear that up. And the second thing before I start talking to Daryl and Ernest is I just noticed this last night. And that is that if you have an Amazon Echo, it's going to start sharing your Wi-Fi in about 8 days or so, on June 8th, so 9 days. It's not a lot. I think it's like 80 kilobits per second. So, you know, it's like fast modem speeds, sub-ISDN, BRI. But still, if you are worried about that, and I don't think that's really the problem, or you're worried about kind of personal information leaking out, like passwords and things, which we really don't know how well it's protected. There is a way to turn it off. So I'll have a link in our show notes, and I'll put the link in the blog. So you can click on that and go to Amazon.com and enable or disable what's called Amazon Sidewalk. It will be enabled by default. Anyway, all right. Before we get talking about what you've been doing for the last couple of years, you have any favorite gadgets, services, whatever?
I think my favorite gadget is always going to be my phone.
Yeah?
So a couple months ago, I did upgrade to the new S21 by Samsung.
You're also a Samsung fan.
I've always been a Samsung fan. I think I've owned every Samsung Note prior to the S21, other than the one that you would blow up, the Samsung Note 7.
Now I remember that.
That's one that I was like, should I or shouldn't I? No. I'm glad I didn't. But I've owned every single one from the very first one to the latest iteration. Even when people used to make fun of me for having a big phone, prior to like the big phone phenomenon, everyone now has like those plus size phones, but
right.
I used to have the Note 1 and it was huge. I take it out of my pocket and people would laugh at me or behind the scenes, they would just smile or laugh on the inside and like, look at this guy with his big phone. But I've always been a Samsung fan. And I think I'm so entrenched in the whole Samsung ecosystem with my TV being Samsung. I have a smartwatch, a Samsung watch that just connects to it. So even if I don't have my phone
Which watch is
with
that?
Me,
I'm not familiar with their watch line.
I forgot the name. I think it was like the third gen. The third gen watch, water resistant. And I think it was their active line.
Did you read that? I think it was a Google I.O., the announcement that Samsung Fitbit, which is now owned by Google, and Google are teaming up to sort of, I don't know if they're going to merge or whatever, but they're going to all go to Google Wear OS. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So I'm kind of, I don't have a Samsung phone or watch, but I do have Fitbit. So I'm really looking for, I kind of doubt my old Fitbit. I've got a Fitbit to charge for. Kind of doubt that's going to have Google Wear on it. But if they have a new one, I would seriously consider, you know, upgrading to that.
Yeah. I mean, I think right now I use the app that they use for Samsung is, I think it's like Galaxy Wear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Galaxy Wear. So that that tends to do well, but I'm really interested in seeing how their partnership with Google will affect things.
Yeah. Because they were drifting apart for a while with Tizen, and now they appear to be moving together together again. So that'll be interesting. Anything you're considering buying coming up?
If anything, maybe a tablet.
Android tablet or a Chrome OS?
Good question. I'm on the fence with – I'm okay with getting either. Right now, what I've noticed myself doing more lately was just staying more connected with the news and reading articles, those kind of things, especially like late at night. seeing what's going on in the world. Yeah. And even how even with my S21 being like 7 inches of real estate space for screen, I found myself like, you know, borrowing my daughter's iPad, checking the news that way.
Yeah.
So if I were to get another device, I'm seriously considering getting any type of tablet just for the sake of just reading, like reading articles, watching news clips on YouTube, those kind of things for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I picked up, I mostly use an iPad to be honest, but because it was so inexpensive, I picked up a Amazon Fire HD 8, I think, which is just barely bigger than your phone, which runs a version of Android.
Right.
So it's Android based. It's pretty good, I have to say. You know, I bought the earlier one, which is way sluggish, but the 2019. I think I have a 2019 Fire HD 8. It's really good.
I bought the sluggish versions that you were referring to. I think it was like $100 or something like that at the time. And then I just remember it being really sluggish. So you're saying that it's picked up some speed since then.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think I paid $60.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, the price has come down, too, and it's a much better piece of hardware. I really enjoy using it.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind putting $60 down for something that, like I said, I'm just pretty much going to use it for reading articles and those kind of things.
Yeah.
So that's really good. I might definitely consider that instead.
Yeah. And they have the 10-inch version, the Fire HD 10, too, which I think is like $100.
Really?
That one's $100-something, but it's like, I think it's under $150.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm definitely going to take a look at that as soon as we jump off then.
Yeah, yeah. So in the great state of Utah, how are your broadband speeds at home?
It's pretty solid. I got to say, it's pretty solid.
You one of those people going to like make me feel bad by having gigabit Ethernet at home or something? I mean, gigabit broadband at home?
Yeah.
I hate you.
Yeah, me too. During the pandemic, I had my son and daughter, especially my son, he plays games on his PC, and he, you know, as soon as he finishes his schoolwork, he's online playing, I don't know what he's playing nowadays, but you know, we have a whole house full of mobile users, and you know, my daughter will stream something, my youngest daughter will also stream something, and then I'm just working during the day, but I don't see any impact on internet speeds while I'm working. So it's been really good. Solid.
Nice. And are you also teleworking to your new company?
I am, until the end of the summers when we kind of are anticipating going back to the office. Okay. So right now it's pretty much the same as what I was experiencing when I was working with the state of Utah, working from home, which has been really nice to think about it.
Yeah.
You know, transitioning over to a new company, going back to the office, just the thought of it, I was thinking like, okay, my kids are still at home, especially now that it's summertime. At least for now, I can slowly transition back into that normal work life for sure.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever that is going to look like going forward.
I know. In my last day at the state of Utah, I actually had to go in for the entire – I wanted to go in for the entire day. Yeah, I mean, it was just weird, like – there was nobody there because I had to go in to, you know, do my exit interviews, return my equipment. And since I was already going to be there, I decided to work the entire day there just to get a feel of, you know, being back at the office. And it was so weird because there was nobody there.
Yeah.
And then the one person that I did see there when I got there in the morning, I thought it felt like a dream. I'm like, am I really seeing this guy right now?
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen anybody in like a year.
Right.
And so it felt so weird. It just felt so weird. Are you guys back in the office?
No. Well, there are a few people. I mean, I go in twice a week, but the vast majority of people I haven't seen since, you know, March of last year. March of 2020, not March of 2021. So, you know, there were a few new people who came in just after the pandemic started. I have not met them in person.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're talking over 12 months. That's right. 14, 15 months now.
It feels so weird.
Yeah. That said, in Hawaii, state office buildings are going to be open to the public starting Tuesday. Mm. But I think it depends on who you work for and you know how much public contact you have. And as you know, Daryl, we have very little public contact where I work now. So,
you know. When is ETS planning on going back to the office full time? Or are
there are no plans? There are no plans yet. You know, nobody's told me, and I'm not telling anybody. So, you know, until somebody tells me, I was like, you know, I can't tell you what I don't know, right?
Right. Good strategy. Good strategy.
Yeah. But yeah, so, you know, so let's talk about what you've been doing for the last 2 years. So you moved over months before the pandemic began. Like, you were there only like 4 or 5 months, and then the pandemic hit. So were you in the office? Because Utah had already had a teleworking program in place, right, at that point.
Right.
So what was that initial the pre-pandemic experience? What was that teleworking or working office experience like for you?
So for the first month when I got there, it was pretty much the same. Our office was already piloting the teleworking program for the rest of the state. So there were already some offices that were teleworking 2-3 times a week.
Yeah.
And when I got there, I was, you know, you have to pass through certain probation periods to get to that point where you can start teleworking. Right. I'd say for the first couple of months, I was working full time from the office. And just as a backstory, so like you kind of mentioned, we were already teleworking. The reason why I came onto the state of Utah was to work with their electronic signature initiative. So they were already anticipating making teleworking available for a wider range of our agencies.
Yeah.
Eventually, right? Our current governor, who was the lieutenant governor at the time, he really wanted to implement that for as many of the employees as possible. And electronic signatures, as you well know, really helps in relieving a lot of the reliance to be at the office.
Absolutely.
So when I came on board for the first couple of months, I was working at the office, and then they said, "Hey, Daryl, you know, this office does offer teleworking opportunities. Do you want to start doing that?" And I said, "Sure, yeah, definitely." So it took me a little while to get used to working from home.
Yeah.
You know, I still made it feel like I was working at the office. I would still wear my collared shirt with a tie, because that's how, you know, there are no Aloha shirts here. I would still wear that working from home.
That's a good idea, actually.
Yeah. It just made it seem like, you know, okay, I'm still working from the office, you know, still have that kind of mentality to always be as professional as possible.
Yeah.
And not that I wasn't going to, even if I didn't dress up, it just made it felt like something I should do.
Yeah, actually, you know, sorry to interrupt, but I recall reading, you know, when this whole teleworking thing became, I mean, teleworking is not new. I did it 25 years ago, off and on, but not to this extent. But when teleworking became a thing, you know, for a lot of people, there was, you know, a lot of pundits and experts that came out of the woodworks. And one of the things they said, which I agree with, is, you know, you should get dressed in the morning to kind of do that mental switch from your personal life to your work life. And, you know, of course, in Hawaii, it's Aloha shirt, so it's not that much of a switch. And most of us don't wear long pants when we're teleworking, I think. Because, you know, it's warm enough that we don't need to.
Yeah.
But, you know, from the stomach up, you know, we're professional. So you shave every morning, and, you know, you put on a work shirt and comb your hair and, you know, all that stuff. And it really does, I think, set your mindset for the rest of the day. So that I think you're right on. Anyway, I'm sorry, Daryl, you were saying.
No. It took me about a couple of months before I really started being, you know, comfortable teleworking.
Yeah.
And what I mean by comfortable is just understanding what needs to be done, getting my routine in place. And then the pandemic hit.
Yeah.
The pandemic hit. So during the onset of the pandemic, as soon as we got the word that, you know, we're going to be teleworking indefinitely.
Yeah.
It wasn't too hard of a switch at that point.
Yeah.
We were us in the office from just from an environment. Work environment standpoint, it wasn't too big of a switch for us. We already had our home offices set up for those that were already teleworking. So it was just a matter of not being at the office at that point. But everything from just functionality, responsibility, just overall productivity, it was pretty much as seamless of a transition as you could hope for.
That's good to hear. You know, it's I've heard mixed reports. I think our group where I work, we did fine. I know I told my boss, you know, we're going to have problems getting people back to the office. And one of those guys is talking to you right now.
I could see that. Yeah.
So, you know, it's an interesting mindset to make that switch from the office to the home. And now that we've been doing it, many of us have been doing it for over a year now, that switch back is, you know, the whole thought of being stuck in traffic. And I don't know how traffic is over there, Daryl, but, you know, it was terrible here before the pandemic.
Yeah. Hawaii traffic is terrible. You know what I've noticed a lot since the pandemic, and I think it can be attributed to a lot of things, but people have just been generally more happy when you jump on a call with them, right? Because they're not bogged down by commute times, those extended commute times where you're fighting traffic.
Yeah,
you know, they have a really good home life balance. They get to recharge more frequently because of the fact that they have more time on their hands.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of people like yourself, myself included, we're so used to being at home that if we can stay as productive from home, a lot of people can make a strong case of not having to work at the office 5 days a week, whatever their previous schedules were.
Yeah. Yeah, personally, I think, I don't know how, you know, and I know you're not the state of Utah anymore, but I don't know if they're going to go back to kind of the hybrid that you encountered pre-pandemic. But here, I think that's what's going to happen in our state government. We're going to go to kind of a hybrid schedule. For those who can't, some people just got to go in every day. I mean, it's just the nature of the job for some people. If you're handling physical objects, that sort of thing.
Yeah, for the state of Utah, just because it was already in place prior to the pandemic, where the governor already wanted those type of opportunities available. I think this just validates his whole stance on the telework experience. And I heard, I don't know how far along they are, but they definitely want to provide more opportunities for people that live in the rural areas to work for state government.
Ah.
So they're putting, you know, they're setting up the infrastructure, putting high-speed internet access for those rural areas, since, you know, that a lot of, you know, one thing that they want to give is for people that don't necessarily live in the Salt Lake area, the ability to work from wherever they are. Because this was never mentioned, but I think the essence of people in general comes from where they are, where they're living. Mm-hmm. And that diversity really plays a part in making just an overall work experience better, because you're interacting with so many people from so many different places that it results in just a better work experience, better work relationships with a wider range of people. So giving people from rural areas the opportunity to work for state government just enhances that.
That's really interesting. You know, I haven't really heard about governments thinking that way, you know, in terms of recruiting, especially in a state as physically large as, you know, geographically large as Utah compared to, you know, Hawaii, which is tiny. But we are separated by a lot of water.
That's true. That's true.
So we're not tiny in sense of distance. We're just tiny in sense of land mass sitting on top of the water.
That's true. And
we do have employees spread out throughout the populated islands. So, you know, but it's always been like that, right? It's not a telework thing. It's sort of the very location-specific work, like you know, health or human services or licensing or something like that, where you need that physical presence. But yeah, I really haven't thought about, or I hadn't heard about or thought about, you know, recruiting from locations outside of Oahu to work in Oahu without moving here.
Yeah, I have some colleagues that are at the outskirts of the state.
Wow.
Never met them, even pre-pandemic, never met them.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'd be tough to ask them to commute to work, even just once a week.
Is that like a couple hundred miles from Salt Lake?
Yeah, at least. I'm still trying to get familiar with the geography of Utah, but it's not close for sure. And, yeah, they one of the you know, very talented people, too. I think you lose out on a lot of talented people by making them either relocate or commute far, far distances. So,
yeah,
really talented people. But even when I was working for the state of Utah, I thought to myself, I'm probably never going to meet these people unless they are visiting the city and plan to just pop into the office.
That's interesting you say that. You know, I used to be a freelance writer for O'Reilly and Associates. I don't know if you ever heard of them. They used to publish a bunch of books and stuff. But I never met my editor in person, ever. Mm. while I was, you know, writing for them for years.
Yeah.
So it was pretty, I thought that was pretty funny. We almost met up once at one of their conferences, but I think he got sick or had some kind of family emergency. And so we never actually met in person that one time we could have. So what kind of technology would you say enabled your stuff? Without creating a security risk, but you know, what was it that enabled technology for you?
To work from home?
Yeah. I mean, aside from electronic signatures, which is a big one for many people.
You know, there were a few, and I created a Spark page. I created a page for this, you know, essential teleworking tools. From just what I did, I needed cloud storage.
Yep.
I wanted, or I needed the type of software that would allow me to collaborate with colleagues in various file types, using various file types. So whether it be Word or visual diagramming, planners, trackers, those kind of things like Trello or Microsoft Planner. We use something internally that allowed us to kind of replicate Trello. But I think those type of services just made it really easy for me to work from home, as well as communicate, whether directly or indirectly, with my supervisor what I was working on. Because a lot of times, you know, you have your supervisor who trusts you fully on what you're doing, making sure that it's done. But having those type of applications in place for them to just check in every once in a while, just to see, you know, what you've been up to, really helps.
Right. Yeah. That's really key, and it's a lot more difficult to do than it sounds. So I really, you know, I'm really impressed you guys were able to do that.
Yeah, I used there was one I like our internal version of Trello. I don't know if you're familiar with how familiar you are with Trello, but having that. Yeah, it's just a way for you to track projects, either from, you know, a single project standpoint or all of your projects as a whole.
Right.
But having that in place not only allowed my direct supervisor to understand and know what it is that I was working on. If they needed help, I would just assign them tasks like, hey, I need help on this. Can we set up a time for us to connect? But it not only gave my supervisor the ability to keep track of what I was working on, but as well as myself, you know, having something that organized in place to understand where I am in a project, where I need to be. So killing two birds with one stone was really effective.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, it's, you know, I work with a lot of folks, and a lot of it is trust, to be honest. I mean, you know, when you're trying to track 100 people, it's like, you know, you're not going to micromanage people, right? As long as, you know, stuff doesn't come crashing down around your ears, I figure, well, you're doing your job, and, you know, I'm gonna kind of pull back on it. But yeah, we do have some things where we had to do track in minutia as a group, you know, not like one-to-one, but, you know, there are 20, 30, 40 people, and it's like, hey, you know, this is a really complex project, and we're going to need a really complex tracking mechanism. So it's been an interesting balance on the kind of projects that need that and the kind of projects that probably could use it, but we didn't do it for, you know, a whole bunch of reasons. So I find that really interesting. And what about communication? You know, like, I know you sound really good. You know, you're using a nice headset. Is that normal? Is when you're using a headset normally when you're like voice chatting or video conferencing like we are right now? Or did you just use the mic on your laptop or whatever?
They gave us when I was working, as soon as my first day, they already gave us a really decent headset.
Yeah.
And it just made it just so much easier to jump on virtual meetings. And I think we did that similarly with ETS. I think they provided headsets for a lot of us, and it just makes it a lot easier. I think for the people who don't have that, they don't understand that sometimes, depending on what your device is, you may need to have a few minutes of setup prior to any meeting.
Yeah.
So having something standardized and already Skype or Zoom compatible really makes it a lot of an easier transition going to virtual meetings.
Yeah.
And it makes it just overall a better experience for not only yourself, having to just plug something in, putting a headset on and jumping onto a meeting, but also for the people that are on the call as well, having to hear you. You know, that's one of like the hardest things where you have to tell somebody to repeat themselves.
Right. I turn on live captions now.
Oh, yeah.
So I go, what did he say? Oh, yeah, okay. it's not necessarily a matter of enunciation or pronunciation or accents or anything like that. Sometimes I drift. You know, I'm like looking at email and somebody says something. What did they say? And I look at the captions. Oh, okay.
Yeah. I totally understand where we're in that place part in it too. Because sometimes you're trying to listen in,
yeah,
but then an email comes in and it takes you away for like a split second.
Right.
And then you forgot, like, hey, what did that guy say?
Yeah, exactly.
It sounded important.
Yeah, I think I heard my name.
It's happened to me so many times. It's funny. And you just answer hoping that it's relevant to the question.
Yeah. You're like, blue. That's not what I asked.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Did you have this problem with back-to-back-to-back-to-back meetings all day in your old job?
Yeah, you know, during the onset of the pandemic, more so than not, I would always find myself in back-to-back-to-back meetings.
Yeah.
So when I joined the state of Utah, I had visions, and I kind of mentioned it, that I saw this implementation project running about 2 years.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be really strategic, and I planned it out as well as I could. Okay, in 2 years, we're going to get to a place where we are really comfortable with electronic signatures, and we can call it a success.
Right.
That's, you know, across the board adoption, just wide array of use cases, the whole nine. 2 years, phase one, phase two.
Right.
And then the pandemic hit, and that was not the case anymore.
Yeah,
it's got to be today, because I wanted to allocate enough of my time to help facilitate agencies into adopting electronic signatures where they felt comfortable, and wanted to make sure that I gave them the time and attention that they needed.
Right.
But when the pandemic hit, everybody was like, Darryl, we need it today.
Yeah.
You know, I appreciate that you have this whole strategic onboarding process in place.
Toss that out.
Toss that out the window. We need it today, and we need training tomorrow.
Yeah.
We need access today. We need training tomorrow specific to what we need.
And we need workflows the day after that.
Exactly. And to be honest, that was actually the most fun I've ever had working in any type of capacity, just because, you know, when you're that busy, time flies by. People really are accommodating to you. You get to understand. And I like to think of myself as a people person.
Oh, you are. Absolutely.
I got to. Thank you. Yeah, I like to. I really enjoy getting to know as many of the people within the agencies as I got to know, and understanding how they operated within their work life. So it was really fun. And so back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back meetings, and we kind of wrapped up what we had initially anticipated to be a 2-year project in about 8 months. 8 months. It was insane. And what's funny is, because when you say electronic signatures, it's not always the most sexy and interesting thing out there.
But it's important.
So usually you're the one trying to engage with the agencies and saying, you know what, you have this available, let's connect. And, you know, it takes a little bit of convincing, relationship building for sure. So I was anticipating that, but when the pandemic hit, they were like, hey, Darryl, it was the opposite way. Hey, Darryl, let's connect. So I felt like the rock star for a little bit, because people were just like, hey, Darryl, you know, we want to set up a meeting. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing that never occurred to me pre-pandemic is when you need to sign paperwork, e-sign or otherwise, you know, some people are kind of a mix, right? They're still sending stuff on paper. And now with telework, you know, kind of maybe not enforced telework, but like I said, I was going in 2 days a week, usually Tuesday, Thursday, or Tuesday, Friday. And, you know, I'd get something that it was a legally binding document that was sensitive and I couldn't print out at home for obvious reasons. And I would tell them, you know, say, oh, hey, I sent you over blah, blah, blah. I says, listen, today's Friday. I'm coming in on Tuesday. You want to sign now, you need to have it, you know, send it through electronic signature. Because otherwise, I'm not printing this out to sign it and bring it in to you. You
know? Yeah, you're not costing me my job.
Yeah. So, yeah, it became like not just convenient. It became, I'm not going to create a legal problem because I printed out a piece of paper I shouldn't have. You know?
Yeah. And I think a lot of people were on the same boat You know, they all understood whatever it is that needed to be done in the way that fits with their agency's requirements. You know, and I think that's one of the things that really helped me help the state of Utah employees was my previous experience with the state of Hawaii, because a lot of the processes, whether it's Department of Health between the two different states, a lot of them are the same, especially when it comes to requirements, you know, HIPAA requirements, those kind of things. Just, they're all relatively the same. It's just how they go about in processing those forms or agreements or documents. And yeah, a lot of people will say, hey, don't send it to me or don't mail it to me. I'm not going to print it out.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Send it to me via Adobe Sign and I'll get it to you almost within the hour most of the time in most cases, right? So really help them out.
I laugh because I have a story I'll tell you later. Don't make you laugh.
Okay.
But so aside from that, you guys were on Zoom or using WebEx or?
We were using Google Meet. So we're a Google shop Meet. There. We were using Google Meet. And, you know, I think that also helped from just a teleworking standpoint. I wasn't involved with the Google admin team at all, but I'm just thinking working from help desk, because as you know, we met, I was working in help desk. We're an Office 365 shop in Hawaii, and having local applications on your PC for, you know, whether it be Teams or stuff like that, sometimes you have to do more troubleshooting as opposed to something that's web-based. So I think that also made for a smoother transition. But we were working primarily off of Google Meet. And then just fairly recently, then we jumped on Zoom as well, just to give a more comprehensive offering of our virtual meeting services. Yeah. So for anything that Google Meet can't satisfy, jump on Zoom.
Cool. I have to use everything, unfortunately. and Google Meet is near the bottom of my list. WebEx is at the bottom of my list. WebEx. I hate WebEx.
Are people still using WebEx?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I'll tell you who later and you will laugh.
Okay, right on.
A large federal agency uses that. I think they need to standardize on that. And I just, so people, if anybody from Cisco is listening, the problem I have with WebEx is for at least this one large government entity who has standardized on it, their audio, their computer audio never works. I always have to dial in for audio and then look at the slides, you know, through the WebEx application or web interface. And it just drives me bonky. Yeah.
I remember using WebEx a little bit when I was in ETS.
Yeah.
I don't think I've used it since.
Yeah, lucky you. I have not had good experiences with that. Yeah, I think there's, what else is there? Zoom works fine, generally speaking.
I like
no
Zoom.
No problem. Meet, it works fine. It's just that it's a clunky UI UX to me. Although I know recently, like in the last week, I think they changed it so that it's a little cleaner. So
they made a lot of improvements.
Yeah, I think when you use Google Meet now, I used it like on Friday, I think. I think that it used to have like a list of user tiles on the right that you couldn't make disappear.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And now it does.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see bigger slides or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I think I know what you're referring to. Yeah. They made a lot of improvements since the pandemic, I got to admit. They were kind of behind on the whole background, the virtual background functionality, a few other things. But the virtual background one was the one that used to get me, like, thinking, man, they should improve this, because if I'm in a meeting, I really need to clean my background, whatever's behind.
Yeah. I hear you.
And I'm so used to having a virtual background using Zoom, thinking like, man, you know,
yeah.
Why can't they just get this in place? And then once they finally did, I was definitely happy, because, you know, with the pandemic, kids going to school from home, they asked me for a lot of things, a lot of help for their homework. And then so my actual background is a whiteboard.
Yeah,
I put whiteboards all over me. I'm just, you know, very whiteboard centric person. Anytime I can write something down, I will, just to remember something. And prior to the pandemic, I used that to take notes for upcoming projects or ongoing projects. It's been replaced by fifth grade math. And, you know, like when you're in a meeting, prior to Google Meet having that virtual background functionality, I'd always had to clean it off because I didn't know if it was right or not.
Well, you know, you should have left it up and maybe people would have helped correct it. And it was like, you know that Daryl? I admire him. Look at him. He's trying to get better at math, at fifth grade math.
It was so bad.
He must have been bad at math.
You know what's funny? My son and daughter would ask me for math help, and I would be able to help my daughter out way, way more than I would my son. With my son, I'd have to Google the question, try to figure it out.
Yeah.
And still, I wouldn't know if it was right or not.
So here's a tip for you. There is a program, free, called – it might just be in the web, in fact, called Google, at Microsoft Math.
I should have talked to you before.
Yeah. So go. And I think there's an iOS app, too, because you said your kids have an iPad, right? So go look for Microsoft Math.
Okay, Microsoft Math.
Yeah. Pretty easy to remember.
That was a struggle. That was a struggle.
Yeah. That's funny because one of the other things that I noticed during the pandemic, and I'm sure you have too, is you learn a lot more about your coworkers. You know, how many kids they have, what your kids. No. You know, I've never remember any of my coworkers' kids. You know, well, maybe a few, but very few. And so now, you see their kids and you see their dog and you hear their dog and their cats will like knock a microphone off.
Yeah, for sure. You know how many pets they have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's kind of been an interesting personal journey with my coworkers that we may have not taken ever, you know?
Yeah.
By choice.
Never thought about that. I never thought about that. Yeah, I know how many kids each of my coworkers have, for sure. I probably wouldn't have known that had the pandemic never happened or work from home never happened, for sure.
I learned I learned there was a very loud rooster near my boss's home somewhere.
That's hilarious. You know what? What I was about to say is, you know what really made me laugh, and this might be off topic a little bit, but that message you sent me on LinkedIn, right after the onset of the pandemic, about how we were ahead of the game.
Yeah,
we were the head of the game, not having to shake hands.
That's right. So, Daryl and I worked at the same place, and we had a winter where we had 10, 20, 25% of the people out sick simultaneously with colds, flu. We don't know what. Could have been COVID-19. We just didn't know it yet. But some people were really sick. I mean, they were sick for like weeks or months in some cases. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying desperately. Never took. I tried desperately to get people to just stop shaking hands. and Daryl was like the only guy that was like with the programs. Yeah, we can do this, So we tried bowing, but, Daryl's young, so that's not a problem. I'm old, so my back started hurting. So I said, okay, Daryl, this bowing thing isn't going to work.
You know, with the bowing thing, it used to crack me up because you remember there was that long hallway in between where my office was and where you were. And then sometimes me and Todd, we would catch each other on opposite ends of the hallway.
It's very long.
Immediately knew, let's bow.
Yeah, we both bow.
And it was funny seeing other people's reactions to the whole thing because they would see either me or you first. And they would bow, they would look on the opposite end, and then you would bow in response. And just seeing their reaction to the whole thing was worth it.
It's about an 80-foot hallway, maybe? Maybe not that, but pretty close, right? It's a long hallway. Long.
And nothing else needed to be said. It was just quiet, acknowledgement of one of each other's presence. Just, caught each
respectful
other's eye.
Respectful bow.
And keep it moving. That's hilarious.
But, we could have saved the world.
Too bad it didn't catch on.
I know,
Too
right?
Too bad it didn't catch on.
Yeah.
Golly, I don't know if we ever did that in public, though.
Did we ever do that outside? In public? I'm not sure if we did it outside the building. We hardly ever ran into each other outside the building, though. Except for that one, that first time.
One and only time.
Yeah. But anyway, hey, Daryl, it has been just wonderful. Thank you for agreeing to come on the podcast. I know it's a Sunday. You've got a family. It's like
so fun.
Middle afternoon for you. So thank you. Really appreciate
this
your time.
This has been so fun. It's always nice catching up with you. It's always nice catching up with you. I don't think we've ever had – I mean, obviously, we've had professional talks. Yeah. But I don't think any of our talks have ever been dull. And that's why I agreed to this so quickly. I was like, man, that's going to be fun. Because we've always had – great conversation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we have a lot of similar interests. Superheroes.
That's true.
You know, kids.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
You know? But at any rate, this has been Mobile Views Podcast 365, not to be confused with Microsoft 365. and my guest has been Daryl Lahola. I still mess up your name after years.
That's good. I'll change it to whatever it is that you pronounce it.
Who is used to work with me in the same office, well, just down the hall. And mm-hmm. and now he's like thousands of miles away, but still a good friend. So thanks, Daryl. And John will be back from his super secret mission next week.